Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of It's Crime Time. I know that today's case has been featured literally everywhere on podcasts, documentaries, and the like, but I can't help but to be bothered by it every time I hear about it. And it has a message behind it that I really wish I would have even listened to during my teenage years. Now, obviously, my life didn't turn out this way, but there's a good message behind it, and it's tragic that this had to happen. And this is the case of Skylar Neese. All right, everyone, it's crime time. Before we continue, I just want to place a disclaimer here that the content of this case involves crimes on a minor. So if you feel that you cannot handle this, then please feel free to click away. Skylar Annette Neese was born on February 10th, 1996 to parents David and Mary Neese in Morgantown, West Virginia. They lived in a place in Morgantown called Star City. She was the only child of David and Mary. Mary worked as an administrative assistant in a cardiac laboratory, and David worked as product assembler at Walmart. When Skylar was a child, she was very rambunctious. She was super intelligent. She just loved talking to everyone. She was very outgoing and just had a big personality. She met her first friend, Morgan Lawrence, in, I believe it was preschool or something of that nature before she ever started, you know, going into actual school. So Morgan Lawrence was her first friend, and they were very, very close for a long time. And she was also a family friend. Her family were, I guess her parents were also friends with Skylar's parents. Skylar attended University High School, and she was said to be a great student who was a high academic achiever. She excelled in almost every subject in school, and even if it was a subject that she didn't really like or she found boring, she still did very well in them. So when Skylar did hit high school, her and her friend Morgan Lawrence kind of, they didn't really part ways, but they kind of grew apart, and part of this, I believe, is due to who Skylar had been hanging out with. The type of people that Skylar hung out with, they just weren't for, you know, Morgan. They weren't people that she wanted herself around. So her and Skylar were still friends. It's just that they weren't as close as they were when they were younger. Everybody that knew Skylar in school said she was very bubbly and just happy-go-lucky, kind of like she was when she was young. And she was a very good and loyal friend. She did anything for her friends. After high school, her dream was to be a criminal defense attorney. She was also an avid reader, and she held a job at Wendy's where she worked with her two best friends after school. She had a best friend whose name was Sheila Eddy, and she met Sheila in elementary school at the age of 8. Her and Sheila had been very, very close since they met. They were inseparable, at least that's what everyone says. So during their freshman year, though, Sheila met another girl named Rachel Schoaf, and the pair then became a trio. While the trio was also said to be inseparable, it seemed as though Rachel and Skylar were kind of always competing to be the closer friend of Sheila, just due to Skylar and Sheila being already very close, and Rachel came into the group. It seemed as though Sheila kind of became closer with her and didn't spend as much time with Skylar. Rachel was also a very outgoing, open person, and she had aspirations of going to Broadway, kind of being on Broadway shows. She was just into musicals and things like that during school, and her dream was to make it to Broadway and be an actress on Broadway. Rachel was a lot different than the other girls, though, just because she was raised very, very strict, very religious, very Catholic, and of course, Skylar was an only child, so she kind of was raised very different. She, now obviously she still had roles and things like that, but her parents kind of just let her be a teenager for the most part. But out of all of the three, Sheila was the one that really didn't have too much structure from what I've gathered. She did all sorts of things, and she was kind of the bad influence of the group from what I've gathered. She did things, you know, experimented with alcohol, drugs, and things like that. And she would take the other girls, you know, places to smoke marijuana in the woods and things like that. So she really didn't have a lot of structure. Skylar had been said to be the rock of the group because she was always emotionally supporting the two other girls. Because Sheila and Rachel had parents who had been divorced and their home lives weren't the greatest. While, like I said, Skylar was an only child who had a very good home life. Her parents were very loving, very nurturing. And Skylar's mother at one point had said of Sheila, quote, "Skylar thought she could save her. I could hear her on the phone giving Sheila all kinds of hell. Don't be stupid. What were you thinking?" On the other hand, though, Sheila was so much fun. She was always silly and she was always doing crazy stuff, end quote. Sheila was seen as being the fun-loving girl of the trio, and she was accepted by Skylar's parents as if she had been one of their own children. Quote, "Sheila didn't even knock on the door when she came over. She just came on in," end quote. And that was also by Skylar's mother. Rachel had been said to be the opposite of Sheila, and this is what I had kind of discussed. She was very well-liked as well. She enjoyed being in the school plays, and she'd come from a very strict Catholic family. So she sort of idolized Sheila because Sheila was wild. She had this carefree attitude, and as far as it seemed, Rachel just really wasn't allowed to be herself around her parents. So when Rachel came into the trio, as I had discussed a little earlier, it did seem to put a wedge between Sheila and Skylar because they were always fighting then. Skylar often tweeted during their fights, and one of her tweets read, quote, "You're a two-faced bitch and obviously fucking stupid if you thought I wouldn't find out," end quote. And another, "Too bad my friends are having lives without me," end quote. So it seemed to be a typical teenage drama. It happens a lot, especially in groups of girls. And a boy in their school reported that one time during sophomore year, he and Rachel were at a play, and they were at a play practice for Pride and Prejudice, and Rachel had her phone up to her ear laughing. She told the boy, "Listen to this, Sheila and Skylar are fighting," end quote. So Skylar didn't know that Sheila had actually put her on a three-way calling and allowed Rachel to just kind of listen in on the fight. So this is kind of what I was saying in the beginning about this message. When you're a teenager, you hang out with people, you hang out with your friends, and even if you fight and things like that, and you know this person isn't good for your life, or you know they're a backstabber and they might not be good for you, or, you know, good to be your friend, you still let them around, and bad things can happen. And when I was younger, as with most teenagers probably, you know, I had people in my life like that where I just repeatedly kept allowing them to hurt me and do things to me that friends don't do to friends. And you're young and dumb and, you know, you think that'll quit. And then you get to a certain age where you're just kind of tired of that drama and you're tired of having people like that around, and you grow up a little bit. So a lot of teenagers do this, but that's why I said there's a good message in this case. And it's depressing. It's, you know, a really, really tragic case. But this kind of negativity, if there's this kind of negativity in your friendships or your friend groups, then maybe you need to step back, because friends don't treat friends this way. And like I said, that's a message that I know a lot of teenagers find difficult to kind of, you know, get it through their heads. Like, these fights aren't healthy, and it's hard to repair a friendship after this kind of stuff happens. But anyway, on July 5th, Skylar had come home from working at Wendy's, and then Skylar, Rachel, and Sheila had actually had plans of sneaking out that night. The girls had invited Skylar to go out into the woods with them to smoke some marijuana, and after they get high, they had planned to ride around, and then they were going to drop Skylar back off at her home, and Skylar would have to try to sneak back in without her parents hearing her. So she wanted the girls to drop her off kind of at the end of the street, and she was going to walk home. I believe this was the first time she had made plans to sneak out. As far as I could tell, it wasn't something that she frequently did. So Skylar came home from work on July 5th, and then later in the night, I guess, she snuck out and the girls, you know, were smoking their marijuana and driving around and everything. And then when her dad got home the next morning, I believe, he went to her room and he actually realized that she wasn't home. So he saw this little stool by her bedroom and knew, you know, something wasn't right. She must have snuck out last night and she never came home. And that's kind of why he was worried, because she just didn't act like that. She would have come home at least. So he started making phone calls. He called her friends. He was about to call her job at Wendy's, but they actually ended up calling first and had asked about her and said that she hadn't showed up for work, which is not like her. She always showed up for work. Sheila then called Mary, which is Skylar's mom, and told her that they had actually snuck out to smoke some marijuana. And she said that Skylar had them drop her off at the end of the street so she wouldn't wake her parents. Then her dad finally called the police, because Skylar had been missing for around 24 hours. And police kind of thought she could have been a runaway, just because they knew she snuck out and she never came home. And they thought, okay, maybe she ran away, which this kind of frustrates me a little bit. They think this about every kid that goes missing, and I don't think it makes a difference, you know what I mean, whether a person's a runaway or they were kidnapped. They still need brought home, so it should be treated the same way. And I'm not saying all police departments, but there are quite a few cases I've heard where they kind of don't take it seriously, and they're just like, oh, you know, they're a teenager, they're young and dumb, and they'll just get sad about running away and eventually come back, and they kind of don't do everything they can to, you know, look for this child. But I just don't think it matters why they're missing. They need to, you know, be located regardless. Police had found footage of Skylar getting into a car at around 12:30 a.m. So this would have been one, technically July 6th. Sheila came by to actually cry with Skylar's parents and help search for her. She sat with Skylar's parents and cried and everything, and you know, because they were close, and she was helping the family try to locate Skylar. Her parents, namely her dad, made an appearance on a local news station. There was even a community candlelight vigil that was held, in which Rachel and Sheila showed up there. And police found out that Skylar's phone and debit card hadn't been used since she was missing. So that was also terrifying to them, because if she had run away, she was going to need money. You know, she was going to need money to be taking care of herself. She would have used her phone, I'm sure. There were also bank robberies in the area, and there were rumors swirling that Skylar had actually attended some kind of teenage party with the bank robbers. So these guys were there, and there had been some sort of overdose at this party, and the partiers kind of hid the body, and they thought maybe she was the person that overdosed and she got hidden. But kids in school were just making up tons of rumors. The town was, you know how it is when something happens, rumors were flying. And because she hadn't been located and there was like no real leads, real good leads, rumors were just way out of proportion. They blew out of proportion. All kinds of things happened. People thought Rachel and Sheila were hiding something for Skylar, like where she ran away to, or maybe they were hiding something for someone that did something to Skylar. So people started thinking that Rachel and Sheila were kind of in on this plot to help Skylar run away, and they weren't telling anyone, or someone did something to Skylar and they were kind of hiding, you know, this information because they didn't want to get that person in trouble. Rachel and Sheila eventually started feeling the pressure when the FBI started questioning everyone. They started questioning everyone in the school, the family again, just to get an idea of what exactly happened and how life was leading up to Skylar's disappearance. In Christmas of 2012, the nieces really didn't celebrate Christmas that year. They, you know, their daughter was still missing, and they didn't really have a reason to celebrate by gifts and everything, because they had an only child. So without their only child there to celebrate, it just didn't feel like the holidays. Rachel and Sheila eventually stopped attending high school. And they say that Rachel was kind of mentally not okay. She was acting out, going crazy. And this wasn't like her, because she was raised strict. And as far as I could find, she did respect her mother and she was good to her parents. But on one occasion, Rachel's mom actually had to call the police because Rachel was having a literal breakdown at the house. She was breaking things, screaming. Like, there is a 911 call from her mother which I will place in here if I can locate that again. But you could hear her in the background screaming.
I have an issue with a 16-year-old daughter of mine. I can't control her anymore. She's screaming. She's running through the neighborhood. Give me the phone. No, this is not the phone. This is over. Hurry up. I'll do it. She just gave me a blow. Oh, God. Hurry up, please.
So police came over and Rachel was taken to a mental health facility. And then after being released from this mental health facility, she wanted to meet at her lawyer's office because she was ready to tell her lawyer something. Rachel actually went into the interview room and had to pull up a trash can beside her because she was afraid she was going to throw up. She was very nervous, sick, you know, just acting very strange. Like she had something very important to tell them. So she eventually just said it out loud. She just said, "We stabbed her." And that was about Skylar. The girls had been planning it for months. So Skylar, Rachel, and Sheila were close, but they did have a lot of fights. So Rachel and Sheila had been planning it for months behind Skylar's back that they were going to kill her. You know, for whatever reason, they just didn't like her anymore and they were going to kill her. Rachel provided the shovel and Sheila provided the knives. They gathered cleaning supplies to put in the car and they kind of packed the car and everything, got their little murder kit ready, and they drove to get Skylar that night. And then the girls drove nearly an hour, almost to the Pennsylvania border. And Skylar got up. After the girls had been kind of sitting there in the woods a while, Skylar got up to go to the car and the girls counted to three. So they both counted to three, and on the count of three, they started to stab Skylar. Skylar fought really hard, and she just asked the girls why they were doing that to her. And then they threw her in a small hole, and they covered her with branches and dirt. They, I guess, tried to dig a hole to bury her, but it didn't work. You know, they just weren't prepared for how difficult it is, so they kind of dug a really tiny little hole and kind of pushed her into it and tried to cover her up with branches, leaves, some dirt. And Rachel actually told the police the location of the body. Human remains that were unrecognizable were found there to be Skylar's. And even though Rachel confessed and led them to her body, they didn't arrest her. Because Ronnie Gaskins, who was the police officer or the detective in charge of working this case, wanted to use Rachel to somehow get Sheila to confess, because those two shared that secret together. And they felt that if they could get her to talk, maybe wiretap Rachel, and then get Sheila to tell the story. Now, all of this happened about 6 months. 6 months after Skylar went missing, they had found her remains, and they were very decomposed. They were unidentifiable. And they used dental records. And of course, like I had said, they were Skylar's. But this happened a while ago, like a while after. The confession happened a while after the body had been buried and everything. So the girls kind of kept it a secret for 6 months. And then they stopped attending school. And Rachel, you know, had this breakdown and eventually did confess. Because that kind of stuff, I'm sure, gets to you. You know, you're a young teenager. And Rachel wasn't raised that way. She wasn't the bad teenager. Not bad, but she wasn't one to get into trouble and experiment with all that stuff. And then, of course, she met Sheila, and she changed as a person. And even Skylar changed. Her friend Morgan had talked about Skylar hanging out with these two girls, and she didn't really like it because she just didn't think they were good influences and good people for Skylar's life. But they were her friends, and so, you know, what do you do? I mean, Skylar kept hanging out with them. So Sheila actually had hidden cameras placed in her home by the police, and Rachel went over to have a discussion with her and try to get her to talk about the murder, but the police didn't actually get anything from the videos. As far as I can tell, Rachel didn't even bring it up. She just didn't want to be responsible for taking Sheila down too. You know, she didn't want to be responsible for Sheila getting caught, so she didn't do anything in the videos. Police got a warrant for Sheila's car, and a positive ID was made on Skylar's remains found in Blacksville, Sheila still acted sad, like she was mourning Skylar. She posted things on Twitter and everything like that. And even if the girls were still free, people around town suspected they did it. In April of 2013, blood was finally positively identified in Sheila's car as Skylar's blood. May 1st of 2013, Rachel pleaded guilty to second-degree murder. Sheila was arrested in a Cracker Barrel parking lot while she was there with her mom. So she was eating a Cracker Barrel and they came up and arrested her because of the blood being ID'd. Morgan Lawrence, which I said was Sheila's old friend, discussed in the show for Dateline NBC that she didn't like Sheila or Rachel and that when Skylar started hanging out with them, she changed. A girl in school overheard Sheila and Rachel actually discussing ways to kill somebody, and at one point they made a comment that they wouldn't mind if Skylar died. So they talked about that kind of stupid stuff in school all the time in front of people, which is dumb because, you know, even joking about that stuff is sickening, but really planning it and then talking about it in front of all these people in school just blows my mind at how, you know, stupid they were, but they're young, dumb, and I guess they think that it was cool to brag about that sort of thing. In 2014, Sheila pleaded guilty and she got life in prison with parole eligibility in 2028. So, 4 more years and she'll be eligible for parole. Rachel, out of the two, is the one that is remorseful. There's no excuses, of course, for what she did, but I feel like Sheila was definitely the ringleader of the trio. As I had mentioned, she was the one that got, you know, the girls into trouble doing things such as that. And I feel like she was a very intimidating presence. And I know Skylar and her fought probably because Skylar just didn't take her crap. You know, Skylar wasn't gonna sit back and take her fighting with her and treating her like crap. But Rachel kind of allowed it. Rachel was easily manipulated. But there's no excuses, like I said, for what happened. But I definitely feel like Sheila was the ringleader. If you watch Rachel, she was devastated about it. And she showed remorse. But Sheila kind of, if you watch her in some of the interviews and you watch her in court, she just very snobby about things, like doesn't seem to care. Rachel was eventually sentenced to 30 years in prison. There is now a law known as Skylar's Law, and it is for Amber Alerts being required even if a teen is suspected of being a runaway, because they wouldn't put an Amber Alert out for Skylar whenever she went missing because they felt like she ran away. So they didn't bother with the Amber Alert. And then there's that Skylar's Law now in several states in which they have to put an Amber Alert out even if a teen is suspected of running away. And to this day, they still weren't exactly sure of a motive on why these girls would want to do something like that. But it is supposedly all of this happened because Skylar had caught Sheila and Rachel having some sort of sexual relations, and she knew they were together. So she kind of walked in on them having sexual relations, or, you know, knew that these two girls were dating or something. And the claim was that she threatened to tell people about the two girls' relationship at one point because they were fighting all the time. And I guess it was claimed that Skylar threatened, like, I'm going to tell everybody, you know, what I saw. I'm going to tell everybody about your relationship. And they killed her to silence her. Now, I'm not exactly sure, but, you know, the truth to that. But I feel like that definitely could be a thing. That definitely seems to be, you know, a valid motive for these girls because they're young, they're teenagers. And oh my goodness, you know, if it gets out that we're dating, like, and I understand Rachel was raised very religious, so I'm not sure exactly what her family's feelings would be if they found out her daughter was dating, you know, a female. So that could very well be why they did it to Skylar. But yeah, this case has just blown my mind because a girl that you loved and was supposed to be your friend and you've been planning on killing her for months. And, you know, if you hate somebody in your friend group, just tell them. Like, just tell them, hey, we don't feel comfortable hanging out with you anymore. We don't want to be your friend anymore. Sure, that hurts our feelings, but why do this? Why do something this disgusting? You know, plan to kill her for months. Like, just tell them, hey, I don't want to hang out with you anymore. Don't waste all that time, you know, thinking they're making this person think that you're their friend and you love them, and then you do the ultimate betrayal, the ultimate backstabbing, and kill them. And of course, the reverse goes the other way too. If you feel like people aren't treating you properly and you're not getting anything out of your friend group but negativity and disrespect, it's definitely time to cut ties with them. Because obviously this is the worst case scenario, but things like this happen. So don't allow yourself to be treated, you know, crappy or disrespected, or to be disrespected, because that's just no way to live. Rachel Schoaf was put up for her parole hearing on May 9th of 2023, and she was denied parole. And I'm going to play a little recording here of Skylar Neese's family after they had heard the news of Rachel being denied.
Rachel Schoaf up for her first parole hearing today. Skylar Neese's family waited right here in anticipation and seeing if one of Skylar's killers would be set free.
This time, the board is not granting parole at this time.
The words that Neese's family was hoping to hear.
Parole denied. And she doesn't deserve parole. She never did deserve for parole. She's a rat that got a deal.
All right, everyone, that concludes this episode of It's Crime Time. If you enjoyed, please consider subscribing on whatever platform you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and until next time.